Our fearless leader of 40th birthday. Jack's 40 today.
Wow. Poor baby.
Yeah. I don't think he's on yet.
Didn't hear that. What'd you say?
Jack's 40 today. Jack Wheeler. Happy birthday, Jack.
Happy birthday, Jack.
Who spilled the beans? That's not cool.
Closely guarded secret, no more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you.
Okay, we need a motion to approve the minutes of the December 8th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I assume there's no grievances. Is Nate here? Nothing. So the first department request, we'll ask Wendy to step up.
Okay, we recently became aware of a appellate decision in Monroe County regarding the demolition costs and the re-levy of those and inability to withhold them, the costs upon settlement with the county by the towns or municipalities. They are, the court feels they should be treated as same as the tax lien. It becomes a lien once the town puts it on or the municipality. A lot of them are village costs sometimes, and it becomes a lien just like any other tax lien. And so our policy here that we adopted allows them to be placed on there, and then we would once, if the property goes into foreclosure, tax foreclosure, then the county would reimburse the town or municipality those demolition costs if the amount if the amount paid or received in the sale exceeds the county's cost and the outstanding liens, then the county would pay back any portion of the demolition costs if it was over the other liens. So I think it looks like we have to revise that policy.
So we never reimbursed them before for that?
Right. We didn't make them whole at the time of settlement. We withheld those demolition cost amounts from their settlement.
So now what you're saying is when the towns or the villages settle up their taxes and turn them over to the county, if there are demolition costs associated with any particular bill, we are to reimburse the town or village at that point in time. We can't withhold that anymore.
Right.
And if I could, this was a case that we've been watching, I mean, for years now. It's mm-hmm. been sort of through the process, and it's one that for the county, we do have exposure because it takes the control of, you know, what municipalities do and and how much they essentially, you know, spend on tax delinquent properties in terms of demos and other things. And in a lot of ways, it takes the control out of our hands when we're the ones making them whole for taxes. So it's concerning.
Yeah, the case originally started in 2016. So we just got the final decision from the Court of Appeals a couple of weeks ago, which is the final say in the state of New York. So I think what we really need to do is we have a resolution 082-12 that sets the county's policy that now doesn't line up with the Court of Appeals case. So we should rescind a motion to rescind that resolution. I don't think we need a resolution going forward because now we have case law that determines what we have to do by law.
So we're removing this one. We're not voting on this resolution.
Well, the resolution would be to rescind.
Okay. Yep. I'll move it.
Second. Any other questions?
And just to clarify, we are making towns and villages whole each year, and it's including demolition costs each year now.
Correct. Okay. And I think just a side note, this plays a little bit well into the public works policy of helping, because that will keep some of the costs down. That there's what, five, I believe, that public works will help each year. So that does work well with that current policy, just pointing out that's a way to mitigate some of these expenses.
Thank you.
How do we figure out how much it's costing us? Do they give us bills?
Yes, they have to provide the amount and some detail. They have to pass a resolution approving that cost to be added to the tax bill in the first place also.
It's just demolition. It's not filling in the area, putting soil down, stuff like that, or is it?
Everything.
Maintenance and demolition.
Cost, yeah, demo, yes. Cost and clean. And
John, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm just a little confused here. So if a town sits out there and demolishes a building, they sit out there and add it to the tax rolls. Mm-hmm. We reimburse them. Are we doing that at this point?
No.
We
haven't been reimbursing them upon settlement costs. This
leaves everything wide open for these villages and towns to demolish everything.
Yeah.
If the county's going to make you whole.
Right.
Correct. That's where our exposure is. And then also, as mentioned, the maintenance, depending upon how much they charge for snow removal, for lawn keep up, for those things that we've never reimbursed for, I mean, that can add up.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Keep piling on.
I think the city of Ornell charges like $100 a mow.
Yeah.
That gets added to the city tax bill.
Right.
So if this property goes up for tax sale, the thing of it is, we've already reimbursed them. Right. We don't have to. That's the end of it at that point. So I think that's just leaving things wide open, sitting out there.
Well, yeah.
But we don't have any choice, really.
No, it's state law.
My question is, how do you decide, like you just said, Hornell charges $100 a mowing. How do you decide the cleanup or the maintenance or the mowing? Is it just on the normal local town's code officer? I mean, like if he orders the highway guys or whatever to clean it up?
I think normally each individual municipality has a property maintenance law.
That's what I mean. If Hornell charges $100 and Campbell charges $50 or whatever, it's what that town charges.
That's right.
Sounds like Campbell will raise their rate to 100.
I think that we'd have to work with them and try to figure out, kind of a common sense way forward. I mean, I haven't talked to Jen or anyone about what it looks like in terms of right sizing and kind of that, just kind of reality check of what maintenance costs are and those sort of things. So there's a lot of unknowns with this, and that's why we've been fearing. And, just to let you know, I don't know you folks who are associated with towns or cities, their associations have been pushing for this for a long, long time now.
Carol, you had a question?
Well, I'm assuming we should make sure that the towns and villages and cities know that they should be coming to a public work first so that we can mitigate most of our costs.
On the major demolitions, at least. So do we have a motion and a second to rescind? Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
Andy, you're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had two items. The first one is to request authorization to purchase the remaining copiers for our fleet. We previously had recall. We had basically a four-year plan. This is the last year that'll remove the rest of the recall copiers and replace them with the Toshiba copiers.
Second.
Total, there's like, this what represents 10 copiers. Yeah, we have about a little less than 60 in our fleet. I think it's like 58 less anyway. So that'll also allow us to get rid of our recall maintenance contract that we have, which is close to $9,000. These are on state contracts, so the rate's less. So I think it's, you know, a good move, and we'll be good for, should be good for a few years before we need to start replacing the aging units that we got 3 years ago now.
Is there annual maintenance on these copiers too?
Pardon me?
Annual maintenance on these copiers?
Yes, there is. It's state contract negotiated, so it's better than what we were able to negotiate with RICO and what we've had previously. Okay. The image rates vary based on the size of the machine. Some are up of 1 cent. The color copiers are over 1 cent. The larger machines, they range somewhere maybe 0.6 cents. So, yeah, so far we've had really good success. Of course, they're all fairly new too, where so we didn't have an aging fleet like we did previous to this. So.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The second item was to see if you folks wanted to authorize auction of some specific items that we've got. There's a typo on here. It should be three of the double stack ovens. There's 2 40-pound washers. These were at the jail. This was all stuff they were updating. The ice machine, the 911 UPS unit that was replaced 6-8 months ago.
What is that, Andy?
UPS, that's the uninterruptible power supply that was the backup for the 911 unit that we replaced.
Yep.
We've also got the old legislative sound system that they just took out of commission, well, recently when we started the remodel. So that I would be looking to get rid of that. And then, to be quite honest, we're kind of overflowing at the barn. We've got a lot of surplus. So I'd see if we could sell some lots of like file cabinets or perhaps desks. Space is really a shortage out there. So with the remodel, we're storing a lot of equipment out there that'll be coming back to the courts. Where it's based on, they have to sign off on it, so we have to hold it.
Do they work?
Yeah, they actually do have one unit that wasn't functional, and I didn't put it on the list because I don't want to get involved in selling something that somebody thinks works and doesn't. I'm not sure what the value of this stuff is, but my recommendation would be
going to the auction.
My recommendation would be to use Teatsworth. I did something from a procurement standpoint previously.
So they might combine these items with other items for another auction.
Yes, they will. Okay. It'll be a net auction. They usually have one or two a month, so there'll be other municipalities' equipment on there.
Okay.
It won't be like the first one we did where they specifically had an auction.
Got a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Brenda.
Back for more on our two favorite topics. I finally received Peter Glanville's record of activities. That means I'm only lacking Tom Bowes from the district attorney's office. So like I had to do last month or 2 months ago, I just need you guys to review his record of activities so that I can put forth a resolution adopting his record of activities.
What do we do about Tom Bowes?
All I can do is continue to harp. Any action that we could have taken would have been to, you know, withhold a pay raise, but we didn't do those for management. So I don't have any other recourse that I can take.
To accept Peter Gladwell's reporting.
So moved.
Second.
Does this look reasonable from other reports that you've seen?
Yeah. You can tell there's a break between March. He couldn't complete because once COVID hit. So the state has indicated that you can make up the time later on in the year if there was a break in your service, not really break in service, but a break in the amount of time that you worked.
Sure.
So
it can't work if everything's shut down.
Correct.
Any other questions? Carol?
Some put in more time than others.
Okay.
But that's just the nature of the caseload. And it's really hard to gauge with brand new attorneys when they come in because they aren't really fully ramped up until probably a year later. But I always tell them that they can, if they find that they are working more hours than what they had previously reported, you can always do another calendar.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so the next item deals with our ethics local law. Now that it has been, the permissive referendum time has passed and I have filed it with the state, the legislature has to take certain other actions according to the law so that you can identify different areas. So under section one, agency, it defines particular agencies that are required to do the financial disclosure form. In the past, we'd only really had the IDA do it, but according to general municipal law, it should be any non-government organization or entity that performs or is organized to perform a county-related function. So we had, in reviewing our law, we had also included the Steuben County Land Bank, the Tobacco Asset Securitization Corporation. And so I just wanted to know if anybody, if there was any other group that you all felt that we appoint members to that we should include or should be doing a financial disclosure form. So like if they receive county money or they're performing a county function for us. So I immediately came to mind the Conference and Visitors Bureau. They're spending room tax dollars. Possibly the STC, Rural Planning and Development Board. But on that end, that's more of a county, it's a three county organization. So do we really want to police other county elected officials? I honestly myself do not want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe just allow them, maybe not include them because they would each have to file them. Anyway, except that Skylar, I don't believe they do financial disclosures because they aren't required to under state law because they are a smaller, their population isn't high enough to have to do that. So I'm not sure. I'm just looking for guidance because we have to adopt a resolution designating what organizations we want to require to do a financial disclosure form.
I think if you feel comfortable with the ones you've named.
Okay.
That.
What about the Conference and Visitors Bureau?
So are you looking at the organization or the members on
the board? The board members. And it would only be the executive board like with the Conference of Visitors Bureau, it would just be the executive board. It wouldn't be any of their, the group that can attend but can't vote. But it's.
I don't think so.
No, you don't want to do this?
I don't think so.
Okay. What about the executive director of the Conference and Visitors Bureau?
Well, do we have a choice?
You have a choice. If you only want to go with the ones named in the local law, we won't do a separate resolution. We will just keep that group.
But you're questioning whether or not that's sufficient based on the way the state law is written.
Right, because it says that they are performing county-related functions. And the Conference and Visitors Bureau clearly performs a county-related function. They were created for that purpose.
You could say that about Cornell Park Extension. You could say that about a lot of those
people
that are getting funded by the county and performing a service. So where do you stop?
You could, if I could interject. In my view, the IDA and the CVB are kind of the outliers because they are created by you to perform kind of an extension of one of your functions. You know, in some cases, counties don't, counties can have tourism bureaus that are county housed, you know, to use those room tax funds. So at least in my opinion, for what it's worth, I would say CVB, IDA are kind of the important ones to include.
And as far as the land bank and the tobacco asset, they're mostly county officials anyway. It's not, I won't require an additional, you know, if you serve on one of those boards, I'm not going to require an additional. So
I serve on the IDA and I just submitted my financial disclosure.
Yes, and you'll have to redo that anyway, because we will be doing a new form. So please don't submit a financial disclosure form because we're working on a new form.
All right.
But I really feel like the Conference of Visitors Bureau should be included in it.
Yeah. Can I interject?
So if we don't list these other agencies, where are we from a liability standpoint?
I don't believe that there would be any liability because if they're spending county tax dollars and they do something wrong, then it's not just an ethical issue.
They have their own rules that they have to follow under the ethics, not-for-profit corporations, and those that they still have to follow whether we're overseeing them or not, state law still oversees them. So it wouldn't be come back on us if they're violating it, especially if we had no knowledge of it.
Correct. We hope.
So do we want to do just the IDA and the CVB?
What about the Tourism Alliance? Oh, no, that's different counties too.
And they're not, I mean.
They're spending tax dollars.
They are, but they're not doing a county-related function. We give them money to spend how they see fit. See, Conference CVB. And Visitors Bureau is handling our tourism program for us.
You
that's
designate.
Entirely different.
Yeah, you designate them as your tourism promotion agency.
They're specifically the Steuben County Tourism Promotion Agency.
Does Cornell Cooperative Extension do it?
ProAction too.
I don't believe so because you're allocating them funds, you know, for purposes that you folks set, but it's not necessarily a county related function. You could theoretically give them zero, obviously not suggesting that, but you don't have to give them anything where CVB, you have to use your room tax money for certain tourism or economic development purposes.
Here's the difference. The legislature created the Conference and Visitors Bureau. The legislature created the IDA. We didn't create Cornell Cooperative Extension. They were their own organization that came to us and asked for funding. That's different. They're not doing a county function.
Well, that should be the benchmark then, right?
Right.
Follow that guideline. So
we should add
one.
Okay. All right. So I would need, yes.
So moved.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
So here's another item that we need to clarify. In section one of the law, the definition of county official, in the past we've had the chairman of the legislature would create a list of individuals or titles of individuals who would have to do a financial disclosure form. Generally, it's been department heads and deputies and elected officials. In the law, it's in the new law, it says other, it includes other employees of such departments, divisions, boards, bureaus, commissions, councils, or agencies who hold policymaking positions, whether paid or not, to do a financial disclosure form. So I have provided you all with a list of, because along that same line, so the list I provided you are all management employees. So there are a small group, like the confidentials and that, they would not be in positions of policymaking, but yet there are some indicators in the law that they would like those individuals to do them. I myself am not in favor because they're not going to be the be all and end all of any decision in a department. But I do feel like we should expand our list of individuals to include, and this is probably a very just my opinion, but I feel like it should include all of the attorneys in all of the departments, because I am finding as we are doing the outside employment forms and the new ethics attestations, I've been compiling those together, and there is probably only one attorney who is a part-time attorney in the public defender's office that even did an outside employment form. And we have preached and done the training for the past how many years, Nate? And we still are not getting anything. Well, I guess there's two attorneys that did it, but I know that there are attorneys out there that have private practices, and if they are not submitting their forms, this would be another way that we could get that information.
What's to say they're going to submit this?
They'd be required to by our law to do it. And if they don't, then we can actually do the board can sanction them. We could actually, the ethics board can actually fine them for not doing their financial disclosure form and not doing it timely. So that's the difference with this new law, is that it gives us a little bit more freedom. If we know that they have a private practice and they didn't comply, then we don't even have to wait for anybody to report it. We can call them out on it.
So how many attorneys do we have all into this? I understand that.
And it's, you know it mostly applies to the part-time attorneys, because
so my question still is, how many attorneys do we have on payroll in this county?
Whatever that list 30? Says. That's what I gave you.
Why would we have to have those confidential management employees? They don't have any policy making decisions.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend them, but I'm pretty much suggesting the balance of the list, which we already require of most of them, but this would expand it to a few others that we do not.
Make the motion.
Second.
Is that to include the additional attorneys?
Yes.
Well, they're already in.
They're already on that list.
On this list. I was going to say. Okay.
So but not to include the confidential.
Correct.
Yes, that's my motion.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And I'll still second it.
So you're saying the whole list, except for confidentials.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, the last part, and we had previously done a resolution on this, but the real property tax auction, there's a group of, there's specific departments that the employees are not allowed to participate in the real property tax auction. I just need to clarify, because we will, with the new law, we have to identify them again. I think right now they're only included in the actual rules that the finance commissioner comes up with. I'm not sure there's an actual specific resolution, but I feel this says we need to do a resolution identifying those departments as not being able to participate in the real property tax auction. And it would also include their, you know, any a relative, sibling, spouse, or significant other. So that means it would include their household.
So it'd be the same list that the finance department already identified?
Yes, we just need to put it into a resolution. And I think it's the law department, finance office, county manager, clerk of the legislature, county legislature. I think that's it, right, Jen?
Yeah, I think that's,
I'll move it.
A motion.
Second.
Got a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I think that's it.
That's it.
I'm hoping that's it.
You'll if be I back find next any month, more, you'll be back.
I'll come back. Thank you.
Oh, eight.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Nate.
All right, I have a couple more items than I normally bring to you guys at once, but it is the beginning of a year, so bear with me. First, we'd like to ask authorization to reclassify a radio technician in the emergency management office. It's a grade 12 to a senior radio technician, grade 14. The duties provided warrant it. You know, with what they do as well as some supervision. So if Tim would like to add anything, please go ahead.
Yeah, I guess if there's any questions, we can answer those.
Do you have any questions? Do we have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Now, along with that, and right?
Oh, that was that's a plus.
Okay.
I was going to say, you caught me up.
Delayed.
Now, along with that, and we had done this in PSNC, I'm not sure why it didn't end up with it, but there's also a full-time radio technician position there in EMO. That had originally been used for training. We'd like to reclassify that from a, or change it from a full-time radio technician position down to a part-time radio technician position.
So move.
Second. So to do the training?
No, this is actually to you know, to fill in and to, you know, to provide continuity depending on what's going on.
And we have had an individual in this role helping out. It's been very, very successful. Like Nate said, for continuity, but that's been a temporary position, and we can only do that for so long before Nate gets jammed up with civil service. So that's why we'd like to make it permanent, and all these things are budgeted for.
This is Robin. I'll second the motion.
Any questions for Nate? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
On to public health. I'm asking to reclassify a vacant registered professional nurse in a grade 15 to an accountant in a grade 14. And this is due to an impending retirement. I have to keep the financials going, and this will end up being the financial person in the office after that.
I'll move it.
Second.
So what happens to the nurse? Don't we need the nurse position? I know we have a hard time filling it, but
it is hard to fill. I mean, it was, we always need nurses, but I mean, it was an extra position that we had sitting there. You know, I mean, we're okay at this point, and it's very necessary to keep the financials, especially with what's going on now, to keep that going. So this was, at least at this point, more needed than that position.
You never have enough accountants.
That's right. I have.
We keep the money moving.
And lawyers between the two. Yeah.
Robin moved. I'll second it.
Anything else for Nate?
I think Darlene.
We already did.
Darlene.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to Hilda's point, I mean, I have open nurse positions right now that I can't fill. I lost a nurse last year, and we've been advertising consistently and regularly to try to backfill the position, and I have yet to been able to do that.
We got a motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to IT. Looking for two positions here. The first is a vacant assistant director of information technology in a grade 17. I'd like to reclassify to help desk technical assistant. And going along with that, we'd like to reclassify a vacant personal computer coordinator that's a grade 12 to a help desk technical assistant. And those are both grade 8 as well. And Rob is here to give you a little bit of an overview of that.
So these are both downgrades, and they're all part of my plan to restructure the information technology department. We're expanding the help desk. And getting rid of course, the higher cost PC coordinator and the assistant director.
Do you already have people for these two positions? You're actually hiring two people or moving two people around?
I'm hiring two people, yes.
Okay.
Are there people in these positions now? In the assistant's job?
We currently have two help desk assistants. We're moving that up to 4, but we're not going to refill the PC coordinator position. The assistant director, for I'd say the last 5 years, has been doing help desk duties. So
they're taking a pay cut?
No, both of these positions are vacated. So.
Oh, okay.
So what's these help desk technicians do? Do they go around? Like if I had a problem here, do they come here? What's their job?
Yes. So anytime people have problems with a computer, they're, you know, going forward, they normally, if they can help them over the phone, then that's what they do. If they need to go out and actually physically be at the computer with them, they'll do that. They'll also remote into the computer from their computer to help them that way. Going forward, they're going to be doing more of the duties of the PC coordinator as well, which is troubleshooting and fixing printers and also setting up new laptops and new desktops for people.
Thank you.
So you're losing your second in command. Is that,
no.
No.
This was a union position, the assistant director. I do have a deputy director.
Okay. This is a long time title. This, okay. Yeah, this has been there a long, yeah. long time. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
This is one that pending the individual's retirement, we've been looking to reclassify for quite a while.
Okay.
Reclassify down to be clear.
Yep.
I made a motion.
For both positions?
Yes.
Second.
I'll second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
I do have one thing that unfortunately did not make it to the agenda, but we do need to talk about, and it's regarding public works. As you may or may not know, the professional engineer in public works is retired. We're looking to hire a new one. That's a very difficult to recruit for title. It is a difficult to recruit for title. He's found somebody who is very well qualified, and what he's requesting, and he can talk a little bit more about it, but is to hire a professional engineer above the step five allowed by us to approve on the grid. Step five is $90,896. He's looking to hire them at step eight, which is $99,532. And Vince, if you'd like to.
And while Vince comes up, Nate has reviewed qualifications and years of experience, and it is in line with the higher slotting the individual in higher than the midpoint or step five.
Yeah, this person's very well qualified. I'd have no problem, you know, approving that that level salary for the qualifications that he has.
I just asked, this wasn't presented at Public Works. Does it have to go back there?
No.
I believe so.
I'll move it.
Vince, you want to tell us about this candidate?
Second.
The job is primarily to design and see that the 331 bridges are safe. It's the most number of bridges in the state of New York in a county. We advertised throughout the state of New York. We received four applicants. Two did not meet the minimum requirements. The other two, this person that Nate's talking about, is as close to ideal as we're going to get. He's comparable in technical skill to Steve Catherman. Steve Catherman was paid $122,000. I think if we can get this person, if he'll come through at what Nate offered or said to you with the upper salary level, it'd be well worth it. It's really critical to the department.
I'm actually surprised you can get one that qualified for that price.
Yeah. This is something that Vince and I talked about for months. If we lose Caviton, what are we going to do? How fast can we do it? And what do we do with the bridge crew while we're looking at somebody new? And that's one reason we thought about putting them on to snow plowing or whatever we could use the crew for. So this is a cog that we need in the steps.
Mike, you got a...
He lives in Swain.
Where did he work before?
He worked 7 years for Labella as a structural design engineer, has a broad range with them, and 4 years with DOT. He's one of the two main bridge designers with DOT.
I think Kelly moved it.
Get our hooks in.
Can he come?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Great.
When does Steve retire?
Thank you. I'm good.
Pardon me? When does Steve retire?
His official retirement was in November, but he's on his temporary now into February.
Where are we on 911, Director?
That would be something appropriate for executive session if you'd like to discuss.
You're up now, Jack, unless Chris is going to, who's presenting?
Sure. Chris can handle the second one because he has that information. 2021, a contract renewal with OpenGov, same price, $43,000. That is for the budgeting transparency stories and workforce planning. To preempt Mr. Van Etten's question, because I know his mind well enough now that he's going to ask. We are actively looking at the incumbent replacement for the full ERP system, which would include budgeting. We have done demos. We started actually the week Well, it started before that, but we started last year, put it on hold with COVID and ramped it back up again. Tammy and Mitch and crew have been leading that. And we've all done demos of the main products that are available through state contract back in between October and November. So I anticipate this to be the last year of a standalone kind of budgeting platform, and that one way or another with the ERP, which I think in the next few months we'll have a discussion to bring to you with a recommendation. We wouldn't have a standalone budgeting platform anymore. It would just be folded into whatever ERP, you folks elect to go with. But this is important for the remainder of 2021 because it's going to. I'm sorry, what's that, Scott?
Are you down to a select number of choices on the ERP system?
Three, yes, three. Yeah. And doing Tammy's doing
the open.gov platform.
Yes, that is one of the three that we have looked at.
Okay, what do we think would be the transition time to switch over? Well, I assume we don't want to be doing that during a budget process.
No. It'd be the good portion of a year. So we're thinking that within the next few months, we're going to be bringing to you a recommendation so that we can start transition. We'll be able to run e-finance along with OpenGov. So very likely for your 2022 budget, we would not be using the new ERP because we probably would be in the integration mode at the same time, but fully functional with the new ERP for 2022.
And this is the last year of e-finance support, right?
Yes.
We've invested a lot of time in this open.gov, and are these other programs that you're considering, do they offer something comparable or are they complementary to this program?
I would say comparable. I think we each of us team members, who have reviewed have different kind of views on the different modules, but no matter what ERP is chosen, it does have a budgeting module that will be far better than the e-finance one that we use. So, a standalone budgeting model like we have been using, well, I've seen a lot of benefit on our end would go away and would just be rolled into the ERP cost.
The other thing is that we've talked about open.gov, and the reason that we went with it in the first place was for access to different reports, access for legislators, and after you've invested so much time and learning how to use it, I would wonder why we would consider anything else.
I think much more to come on that when we discuss the overall transition to the ERP. That certainly has been part of our discussion is, the time that we've invested in OpenGov, but there certainly are, two other very viable solutions that, again, it would take some time to learn the system, but it goes to the broader cost calculation of staff time, obviously cost of the system, annual costing and ongoing cost, but also, staff time to make the transition functional and, to get everyone up on speed. And, we'll certainly provide you, within the next few months a very comprehensive view of the whole thing, because those are the exact issues that we've talked about, during the process.
I'll move it.
Is there a second? Hold on, John.
Yeah, these other modules you're talking about, do we have a cost that's associated with them?
Too early. He said it's a couple months away.
So they haven't developed them yet. Is that what you're telling me?
No, he said that discussion on the ERP system is a couple months away. They're still doing trials looking at them.
So no matter what.
So this is just in the meantime.
Correct. No matter what.
$500,000, no matter what they get.
Right. Yeah. No matter what ERP solution you select, there will be a budgeting module that we won't need a standalone platform any longer.
Mrs. Langer will be able to help with transition since she was involved in PeopleSoft. So
PeopleSoft HR, not PeopleSoft Finance.
There's a difference. We got a motion from Kelly. Second.
I'll make the second.
Robin? Anything else?
This is for 1 year?
Yes.
1 year?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
And Chris. And then,
yep.
Thanks, Jeff.
I have one other question. If we're looking at $500,000 down the line, have we started a capital project to start funding this to even out the budget?
We have
done that already?
We have existing capital projects that we can utilize for this.
Good.
Nothing yet.
We are requesting the fourth and final annual renewal for the vehicle lease agreement with Enterprise. Obviously, this has grown since inception close to 5 years ago. In 2021, by the end of the year, we anticipate having 29 cars under lease with a budgeted amount of $189,376, obviously spread across many departments. But like I said, this is the fourth and final renewal period of this. So towards the end of the year, we'll reissue RFP on this.
I'll make the motion.
Move it. Oh, I'll second it. So this is working out really well for us, isn't it?
Yeah, so far so good. We had there was a couple hiccups in 2020 with COVID in production of vehicles. We had a couple that were kicked right out to the last week of 2020, but they don't anticipate that this year. So this year's a big year for the sheriff's department. So they believe they have four. So that's big for that department having four lease vehicles. But all in all, it's been a great program.
Better on the county shop too, because they're newer vehicles. They don't nickel and dime us.
And safer, I mean.
More to Scott's point, this year we did, it's a 3 to 5 year vehicle lease renewal. So they actually upgraded some of these 3 year old vehicles instead of waiting until the 5 year expiration. So that'll save in the long term on the vehicle maintenance side.
And
are we staying pretty close to budget?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
With extra mileage and so on and so forth.
We don't get charged for extra mileage, but we are within, you know, the range that we give them. Yes.
Okay.
And they've been good to contact Chris, if they see the market to his point, to flip some of these earlier than the 5 year, and we get to carry some of that equity over into the new lease. So not only do they, obviously get the benefit for the resale of the vehicle, we get the benefit of a little bit of equity too.
Good.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So now, do we want to entertain a motion for executive session on Scott's point?
So you have that, and then we also have a matter related to collective bargaining.
Right. So we'll have a matter to add that for employment history of particular person or person's appointment. And then, as Jack said, collective bargaining negotiations.
I'll move it.
Got a motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're in executive session.